Good morning. It's a pleasure to see each of you again this morning. And before I get into my message, I would just like to ask you to do something after the service, if you would. Just as I am praying for you, I appreciate your prayers for myself, for my family, the ministry here at Grace. But also, I ask you to be praying for me in the other ministries that I am involved in with Way of Truth Ministries and Way of Truth Baptist Mission. And in the back is our latest newsletter out on the Welcome Center. If I would invite you to take a copy. If we run out, I can give you another one. And then there's also one for Project Kenya. And I especially would like you to pray for this one. The Lord has given us an opportunity for ministry impact that I never dreamt I would have the opportunity to have. Last year, we were given the opportunity to lead a conference with almost 1,000 pastors. We had the opportunity to have a training seminar for chaplains with over 400 chaplains. We had the opportunity to host a dinner with 100 key government officials for the Kenyan government. I had the opportunity to speak to over 500 cadets for the Kenya Forest Service. And again, this year, God has given us the opportunity again in October. And the conference this year, we are expecting over 1,500 pastors and church leaders. We're going to be doing 2 days of training with the Kenya Wildlife Service, the Kenya Forest Service, Kenya Wildlife Service, and the Kenya National Police, doing some training for those chaplains. We're also going to be doing training for 400 to 500 chaplains as well. We're going to be having the dinner with political leaders. So God has opened up some incredible opportunities for us to minister and to speak into the lives of key leaders in the nation of Kenya. So please be praying for us leading up to this. And there's a reason I ask you to pray, because last year, Satan did everything in his power to keep this from happening. Maybe one-on-one I can share more details, but it was just one roadblock after another, including multiple deaths in the families of individuals that were going. One of our main speakers falling and breaking his ribs a couple days before the trip. Just different things, one after another, that Satan was doing to prevent this. So we know God used it greatly last year. We believe God is going to use it greatly again this year. But we suspect that Satan is also going to do everything in his power to prevent it this year as well. So we need your prayers. Please be praying. So I encourage you to pick them up. They're both on the Welcome Center. Because the more you know, the more details, the more specifics you know, the better job you can do as a congregation in helping to keep us in prayer as we prepare for this. On the windswept hill in an English country churchyard stands a drab, gray, slate tombstone. The quaint stone bears an epitaph not easily seen unless you stoop down and look closely. And the faint etchings on that tombstone say these words: "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." Now, I do not know anything about Arabella's life. I know nothing about her personally. But her epitaph gives us some insight into her character, does it not? Her epitaph tells us what those who knew her best, or maybe didn't know her much at all, but knew something about her, what they thought of her. See, an epitaph is words inscribed in a tombstone that are meant to memorialize the individual that is buried there. And normally, an epitaph points to the individual's greatest strengths, to their greatest accomplishments. Not so for Arabella Young. It seems to point out instead her greatest flaw, which was she could not keep her tongue. And what the epitaph tells us is that until the moment of her death, she was not able to keep her tongue. Now, if I step on any toes this morning, I apologize, but I'm just warning you that I have been stepping on my own toes all week, and they hurt. I believe that we're going to be looking at some truths that all of us need to apply. I know when this type of sermon is preached, it's easy to think of other people that should hear this or should put this in practice. Maybe certain names pop into our minds. But this morning, may I encourage you to not think of somebody else. Think of yourself. Apply these words. Apply these principles. Apparently, Arabella had trouble controlling her tongue. And this is a problem that many others share, and I think all of us at some point share. This morning, we will see in Proverbs chapter 13, verses 2 through 3, as well as many other passages, why it is important for us to hold our tongue. So please stand with me and follow with me in your Bible. I know it's a brief passage, but if you would follow with me as I read these two verses. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 2 through 3. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we approach this very difficult and delicate subject, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be guarding my words and all of our thoughts. Lord, that we would be able to truly see our own lives and our own hearts as you see them. That each one of us would be willing to reflect on these truths and apply them to our lives. Because one of the greatest tools that the enemy uses is our tongue. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us, that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us those truths that he wants us to understand and help us to apply the principles to our lives that he wants us to apply. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So here in these verses, Solomon begins by telling us that your words will either bless or trap you. Your words will either bless you or trap you. We see that in verse 2. Go there with me, please. Verse 2 says, "A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence." Those who speak blessing will experience blessing. Those who speak blessing will experience blessing. By speaking positively about others and helping them with our words and blessing them with our words, we are not only gaining God's favor, and we are not only blessing others with our words, but we are also blessing ourselves. Solomon says in verse 2, that this will bring blessing into our lives. When we are fruitful with our words will bless us. It says, a man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. There where it's speaking about fruit, it is speaking of good fruit, positive fruit. So if your mouth is producing good fruit, if your mouth is producing positive fruit, if you are blessing others with your mouth, you will get to eat of those blessings. You will be blessed, you will enjoy, you will benefit from the very things that are coming out of your own mouth. Positive words will produce positive fruit, which in turn will produce good nourishment for others and also for you. I believe this fruit refers to the blessing of God and the blessing of others. When we care for others, when we speak to others with care and consideration, when we treat others with kindness and the words that come out of our mind, out of our mouth are kind and gentle and loving and respectful. You know, even the wicked generally tend to respond to kindness. And one example that I can think of this, those of you who have been with me on mission trips to the Dominican Republic know him a little better, but most of you who were here in December when Pastor Goomer was here and spoke, many of you got to meet him. When my parents started the Cienfuegos Church, I was still in Bible college at the time, and I went down for the summer and helped them start a youth ministry, a youth outreach in that community as they were starting that church. And over that summer, we had gained probably about 30 young people that were coming on a regular basis. So when it was time for me at the end of the summer to come back to the U.S., to go back to college, my parents invited Gumitsindo and Mari, who lived probably about 2 hours away, to come and work with them in Cienfuegos. The only problem is Goomer is of Haitian descent. His grandparents immigrated from Haiti to the Dominican Republic. And you can tell that he is Haitian by his looks. Santiago is one of the most racist cities in the Dominican Republic towards Haitians. So Goomer did not want to come to Santiago because who would ever respect him? Who would ever listen to him? I mean, he's as black as can be. He looks as Haitian as you can look. But you know, God made it clear to Goomer that he was to go to Santiago, and he did. And Goomer began to invest time in the lives of the young people, saved and unsaved, in that community. He would go down to the basketball court and just hang out with them and be with them. And over the months and over the years, Goomer became so well known and so respected to the point that he had even established relationships with the gang leaders in Cienfuegos. And on multiple occasions when there was an issue with the gangs in Cienfuegos, guess who the first person that the police would go to seeking help? Goomer. Why? Because he lived this. His words blessed. He spoke with kindness. He spoke with gentleness, even to the point where the gang leaders who were criminals knew who he was and they respected him. I believe this is an example of what Solomon is referring to here. When we produce positive fruit with our lips, with our mouth, with our tongue, we get to reap those benefits. We get to eat from the fruit that our life produces. It doesn't just bless others. It comes back to bless us. People are watching you. People are watching me. People are watching us as a congregation. They are taking note of how we use our tongue. They are taking note of not just the words that come out of our mouth, but the tone that we use, how we express ourselves, how we express our emotions, how we react to certain situations. And if you really don't know what to say, generally, it's best not to say anything at all. I can think of a quote from Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln once said, "'Tis better to be silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." If you're in a situation where you just can't think of anything positive to say, or you can't think of a positive and fruitful and beneficial way to respond, don't respond until you do. It's better to be silent and thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. You know, Proverbs 17. Oops. Oh, I guess I missed that one on the PowerPoint. Sorry about that. Proverbs 17, verse 28 says, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." I have a feeling that Abraham Lincoln had read that proverb. I have a feeling that Abraham Lincoln did not come up with that quote completely on his own, but a man who studied God's word, and we know that through his own historical writings. Abraham Lincoln's quote, I believe, comes right out of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. I'm going to read it again since it's not on the screen. "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." Arabella Young never learned this important lesson. To the day she died, she never learned to keep her mouth shut, to hold her tongue. Have you? Have I? Those who speak violent words are trapped in a cycle of violence. Those who speak violent words are trapped in a cycle of violence. Let's read verse 2 again. "A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence." The soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. What does that mean? The word unfaithful here literally means treacherous, a treacherous person. So let's reread that using that word. "But the soul of the treacherous feeds on violence." This means a person who is unstable, unreliable, or even dangerous. Again, this is all in the context of speaking. This is all in the context of what comes out of our mouth. This is all in the context of our tongue. So when it refers to a treacherous person, it is talking about a person whose lips, whose tongue produce treacherous words. An individual with a treacherous heart or a wicked or evil heart is going to feed off of violence and evil. That is what Solomon is saying here. A person whose heart is filled with treacherous things will speak treacherous things, and their life will be controlled by evil. Their heart is evil. Therefore, their words and their actions will be evil. Let me ask you, when somebody does something to you that catches you off guard, and an ugly, evil word comes out of your mouth, in response to that action. Where did those words come from? They were already there, weren't they? Those words came out of your mouth because they already existed in your treacherous heart. They already existed in your wicked heart, in your sinful heart. The individual did not put those words there. The individual that did whatever it was to you did not cause those words to come out. God used that individual to reveal something treacherous and wicked that was dwelling in you that you need to deal with. And I believe that often that is why God allows those types of situations to happen. So that when something pours out of my heart that is not good, that is evil, that is wicked, that is sinful, I can reflect and say, whoa. My heart needs to change. See, often we turn our attention on the person that caused us to react. Often we blame them. It's their fault that I said this because they did such and such. But in reality, God is simply using them to reveal in us things that we need to change in our own hearts, in our own lives. When you squeeze a lemon, what comes out? Lemon juice. When you squeeze someone with an unclean heart, what comes out? Evil, wickedness, evil words, treacherous words. The fact is that we all have an unclean and wicked heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When we are living according to and relying on our own strength, the wickedness that is already in our hearts that comes from our sinful nature is going to reveal itself in our words and in our actions. And that is why if I am walking in the flesh, and I am allowing my wicked heart to have its way in my life, then I am going to allow my mouth to spew the bitterness and the wickedness that is inside me. If you're walking in the flesh, if you're not spending time reading God's word, if you're not spending time in prayer, if you're not spending time one-on-one with God, seeking the Holy Spirit to be working in you and in your life, and living in obedience to God's word, then you too, when you are pressed, when you are pushed, what will come out is what the fleshliness, the sinfulness that is inside you. The bitterness, that will be the result. Eventually, it will probably escalate into some form of violence, violent words, some type of altercation. Doesn't have to be physical, but we've all been involved in verbal altercations, have we not? One of the worst pieces of advice that I have heard, and every time I hear somebody say this, I cringe. Sometimes I speak out, sometimes I don't. But the worst advice that you can give is, listen to your heart. It'll tell you what to do. Our hearts are evil. Our hearts are wicked. Our hearts will not guide us to the truth if we are walking in the flesh. So what is the advice that we should be giving? Don't listen to your heart. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Seek God's guidance. Seek God's direction. Go to God's word. So how then do we stop this cycle of violence, Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do we stop this cycle of our hearts being full of bitterness, of sin, of deceit, of wickedness? And then when we find ourselves in a confrontation, when we find ourselves in a situation where somebody's pushing our buttons and not responding in anger and not responding with hateful words and not responding with bitterness, how do we stop that cycle? Walk in the Spirit. Focus on your relationship with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, not your heart. Never let your heart guide you. It is only through walking in the Spirit that this cycle of violence that Solomon is referring to can be broken. Because when we are allowing our lips and we are allowing our tongue to spew out the bitterness and the sinfulness and the wickedness that's in our wicked heart from nature that we are born with, when we are allowing that to happen, we will be trapped in a constant cycle of violence. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the type of violence that we think of when we're dealing with the inner city, but anytime there's strife and turmoil and contention and fighting, that's violence. And I believe that that's what Solomon is referring to here. Break that cycle. And Galatians 5:16 tells us the only way that that cycle can be broken. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and your heart will not deceive you. And when somebody pushes your button, you're not going to gush out all of these evil thoughts and evil words and all of these things that cause strife and contention and bitterness and anger and fighting. Not only can your words bless or trap you, but we also see that your words can determine your future success. Let's go to verse 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Choosing your words wisely will guard you. That's what Solomon is telling us here in the first part of verse 3. There are many passages in Proverbs that deal with this topic, the topic of guarding your mouth or guarding your tongue. And here's one of them. Proverbs 15, verse 28 says, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." Remember, our heart is wicked. Our heart is evil. So if we speak from our heart before we think, what's going to come out? Evil, wicked, things that we shouldn't say, things that often we would like to take back, but we can't, right? Have you ever wanted to take back something that you said? I know I have, on many occasions. Oh, there are so many words I wish that I could take back that I have spoken in the past, but I can't. Why? Because I listened to my heart before I gave the Holy Spirit time to speak to me. Think of all of the things that you could be spared from if you will only think before you speak. And make wise choices when it comes to your words. If every single one of us, myself included, would simply stop and think instead of reacting and speaking from the heart and asking the Holy Spirit to give us the right words with which to respond, think of the many things that we could be spared of. We wouldn't have to worry about offending someone because of the foolish words that came out of our mouth. We wouldn't have to worry about being considered a fool by others because of foolish words that came out of our mouth. Our testimony would not be damaged by foolish words that came out of our mouth, and we would never have to take back foolish words that we spoke because we simply blurted out what our heart told us. And that is why in Proverbs 15:28, Solomon says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Do you study how to answer? I'll be honest, there are many times that by Solomon's definition, I'm a fool. There are many times that I answer out of an immediate reaction. And that is something I recognize I need to work on. Do you? Even an intelligent person who reacts on impulse and does not think through his words before speaking is worse than a fool. That's what Solomon is telling us. Others have little respect for a person who can't hold their tongue. Arabella Young is an example of that, right? The epitaph was not written about her out of respect. Normally, an epitaph is written by somebody who loves you and respects you, right? They try to paint the best picture they can of the person that they're memorializing. I would say that Arabella Young's epitaph was probably most likely written out of spite by somebody who was rejoicing that she was no longer speaking. What a sad legacy. What a sad legacy. The reality is, no one enjoys being around a person who continually blabbers without thinking, who is continually offending others with their words, who can't hold their tongue. And Solomon in Proverbs 16:28. I guess I made a typo there. No. Somehow I got these out of order. Okay, Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Let me read that again. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Wow. All it takes is a few whispers to divide even the best of friends. We've all lived that. We've all experienced that. We've all been through it. We need to learn to hold our tongue. We need to learn to control our mouths. This type of person will have a difficult time building good, healthy relationships and will probably live a relatively lonely life. And beyond that, you know, Scripture says that God hates those who sow discord. In Proverbs 6, somehow I got these all out of order. What is going on here? Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes. Seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. God hates discord. And if that is not enough motivation for us to think before we speak, for us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us respond in an appropriate way instead of listening to our heart, which Scripture tells us will deceive us, if that is not enough motivation for us to guard our mouth and to hold our tongue, I don't know what is. One of the easiest ways to sow discord is by not holding your tongue. Therefore, speaking on impulse can bring God's judgment onto your life. If God hates it, if God despises it, if this is something that God considers an abomination, do you not think that God will punish it? He will. This morning, I would like to challenge you, to challenge myself, to challenge us, to think before you speak, to listen before you answer, and talk to people rather than about them. That, Solomon says, will save you from the fate of Arabella Young, who too late in life learned to hold her tongue. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's hard to even know what to say after listening to these words and looking at this passage. As I reflect on my own life, I can think back of so many occasions in my life where I spoke instead of listening, where I responded too quickly, where I responded in the flesh, where I allowed my heart to lead me, where I've spoken words that I wish I could take back, where I know in times of my life my words caused discord. Lord, help us to learn. Help us not to be like Arabella Young, who did not learn until the moment of her death to hold her tongue. Lord, I pray that you would help us each individually as your children, that you would help me as a pastor, that you would help the leaders, the elders of this church, and that you would help every single individual and us corporately as a church to learn to speak blessing, to learn to hold our tongue when it needs to be held, to think before we respond, to listen instead of speak, and to allow your Holy Spirit to guard and to guide every single word that comes out of our mouth. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.